Well, it is. It's really an honor to be here and to explore this topic with all of you. I feel really grateful for the opportunity. And similar to last week, I'll probably share just a few words and kind of describing the work and the relationship between kind of the Dharma practice and then Joanna Macy's work that reconnects, and then do some exercises with all of us that are a little bit more interactive. And last week also I was in the morning, I received an email from a dear friend who is doing activist work in Appalachia on mountaintop removal. And I read some excerpts from that. And then this morning, I received another email, not from her, but I lead rites of passage wilderness work during the summers. And one of my co-guides had sent me an email. And I thought that, again, it was his words just evoked so much of what I think that a lot of us experience. So I thought I would start by sharing a little excerpt from that too. So he writes to me, "Each week I read an Environmental Digest from news around the world, and today I have been about the final hearings on the XL pipeline. Some days I just feel down about my own contribution. There is so much at stake, and today I feel like I'm on the sidelines. Today it's hard to contemplate working within wilderness therapy, even though I hold it as a passage right, and will give myself fully to the development of the young people I work with. And of course I will encourage the deepening of our relationship to the wider natural world. And yet still, with so much on the edge, I want my work to speak directly to the needs I feel need addressing. How do you hold the wider needs and urgency within your own life?" He asks me. And in a way, it's almost like a koan, that question. And it really does bring me back to these twin passions I have and teachings that I've received both in the Dharma and then Joanna Macy, who created this work that I believe some of you are familiar with, called The Work That Reconnects. And it's really a series of exercises based in an understanding of our interconnectedness and the interconnectedness of all beings, and how it is that we face the suffering that we experience in the world in a way that brings us power and agency rather than shuts us down. So I was reflecting on that question, and
can you read the question again?
Sure. Yeah. How do you hold the wider needs and urgency within your own life? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And as I was reflecting on it too, I was considering how this practice, this Dharma practice, is sitting on our zafus. You know, we're really faced again and again with the hindrances and the aversion, the experience of really working closely with aversion and with resistance in my own life has emerged again and again when I am faced with looking at violence and suffering inflicted on people and non-human beings in the earth. And so how is it that I can and we can notice the aversion or the resistance to what is happening, to even witnessing what is happening, and then to just keep having the courage to meet that and to see that? And the way that I like to think about it is that it makes us more able to respond. So some of you also might be familiar with who here has worked with Joanna Macy? A few of you. So you probably know her story from the Novozibkov story, from the Elm Dance. She shares it at every workshop she gives. And I'm not going to tell you the entire story because she's so articulate, and when she shares it, I couldn't match it. But what she did do back in right after the Chernobyl disaster, she went to Russia to work with communities who had been hit by nuclear fallout. And there's a particular village called Novozibkov where when authorities discovered that this plume of radioactive material was heading towards Moscow, they seeded the clouds over this village of Novozibkov so that it would rain and the fallout would land there rather than in Moscow. And they didn't tell the villagers that this was happening. So there's all these accounts of villagers, you know, coming out of their homes and seeing, the stuff falling to the ground and playing in it and picking it up. And it's now a region that all of the people's homes, and they used to be a very forest-reliant community and village, and the trees store so much radioactivity that all of their homes have to be created in cement, and they can no longer spend that time in the woods that they had. So, of course, they've all experienced quite a bit of loss and grief in that process, and she went to talk about what had happened and to do what was called in those days like psychological rehabilitation work. And she found that people were really, really excited about talking about all the things that they were really grateful for and memories from before Chernobyl, and they would get really excited and happy sharing some things around the community and their children. And then when she started to ask them questions about this tragedy, what had happened, they got furious, and they lashed out at her, and they lashed out at the program, and they said, you know, we were having this great time talking about good memories. Why are you forcing us to look at this? I mean, it's ruined our lives. And so she initially, when she's telling the story, you know, she says that she starts to doubt herself and is wondering, okay, yeah, why? Why are we facing these shadows? Why are we facing this darkness? Why are we facing this aversion? You know, why are we on our mats or on our zafus noticing the knee pain over and over again? And let me see if I can find it. So she says, it's a long story, and I'm just getting to the, you know, little pieces of it. So, so she says that, you know, the good feelings that had grown since the workshop began shattered in anger directed at me. Why have you done this to us? A woman cried out. What good does it do? I would be willing to feel the sorrow, all the sorrow in the world, if it could save my daughters from cancer. What good are my tears if they can't? And so what she ends up saying is, you know, I have no wisdom with which to meet your grief, but I can share this with you. After the war which almost destroyed their country, the German people determined that they would do anything to spare their children the suffering they had known. They worked hard to provide them a safe, rich life. They created an economic miracle. They gave their children everything except for one thing. They did not give them their broken hearts, and their children have never forgiven them. So she shares, she leaves them with those words, and she returns the next morning And the next morning, she says that the first to rise was the woman who had expressed the greatest anger, the mother of the two daughters. And she says, "I hardly slept. It feels like my heart is breaking open. Maybe it will keep breaking again and again every day. I don't know. But somehow, I can't explain. It feels right. This breaking connects me to everything and everyone, as if we were all branches of the same tree." It's a very powerful story. And maybe I don't need to make the connection again, but just to, you know, attempt to answer my friend's question, which is back here somewhere. How do you hold the wider needs and urgency within your own life? You know, how do we all hold what is so difficult in the world? And I believe it's a practice, and it's a practice of having our hearts continually break open. And really, I think there's the way of like living in the world with a guarded heart and then living with a broken heart. And that even in continuing to explore the broken heart, it's like there's nothing broken in the first place. What I was thinking that we would do together is one of, it's an exercise that I kind of adapted from one of Joanna Macy's exercises. And it speaks to resistance. And it speaks to not wanting to be open or vulnerable, and, you know, how it feels to live in that place of a guarded heart, because all of us are familiar with that, I'm sure. I certainly am. So what I would invite is for each of us to get in, have a partner, and it's another open sentence exercise. So I'll just read what I have written here. As we relate to what is happening to our world, concern and compassion are not all that we feel. There is fed upness, there is callous indifference, there's numbness, there's all of those reactions, and to be whole and to be present and to be real, we really need to acknowledge those responses as well. And I think that also that process helps us identify with what we might imagine the larger public might feel. I'll leave it at that. So the first open sentence is, and you can choose. It's like, I'll give you two. I'm sick and tired of hearing about, or don't talk to me about. And you can be, I invite you to be as loud and obnoxious as you want. And, you know, just to really go with this. And if it's not something that you're feeling or you feel like you've ever felt, then just pretend. What would it feel like if you didn't feel like that? So I'm sick and tired of hearing about blank, or don't talk to me about blank. And you can just go on. And I'll let you vent for about 4 minutes, so, you know, have fun with that. And then I'll ring the bell, and then I'll give you another open sentence. Any questions about that?
So it's 4 minutes per person?
Yeah, well, so it'll be 4 minutes for you, and then I'll actually give the same person another open sentence, and then we'll switch.
Okay.
Yeah. Everybody needs. Well, I have one more, but we don't have time for it.
Oh.
You have to come next week.
That's good.
But I'd love to hear how that was for you, if any of you were moved, surprised,
found something useful in that exercise. I'd love to hear it.
I loved starting with gratitude. I thought it was really important because in the midst of suffering, whether it's your own personal suffering or the suffering of the world, I think that gratitude is what makes you capable of holding more. Mm-hmm. Gratitude opens your heart, and that's really what we're trying to do in the midst of great difficulty. So I like that a lot, and it was kind of like the step back that you were talking about, too, for me. Mm.
In the second topic, which got really painful, talking about things in the world that concern me, both my partner and I found that it really boils down to all these different embodiments of greed, hatred, and delusion that in so many parts of the world are just being extremely destructive and creating a lot of suffering.
Yeah, and I think that something about exploring the nature or the quality of those in our own hearts, at least for me, allows me to kind of widen my my lens or my understanding of it when I see it manifesting in the world.
It was wonderful doing the gratitude and just kind of really getting that refresher course. I'm like, oh, there's so much to love in the world. And that it was, like you said, afterwards you could feel like this joy in the room. And then afterwards, the next one, the like, ugh. But it was really nice to see that juxtaposition with that, how much what we think and what we dwell on, how that affects us, and that we do have some, choice there about how we direct our minds.
Yeah, I don't know who wants to go first. You two both sitting had your hands up. You can choose.
Isabel and me.
I really specifically enjoy the perspective because I love the way Joanna Macy's just forces us to look ahead, that seventh generation kind of perspective of it's not just for us and just, for this, but it's just what we're doing has such long consequences. And that really inspires me and gives me hope. Because I may not see it, but they will.
That's beautiful. Thanks.
I really like the way you framed the second one about a concern that I have for our world. And I really like the word our. It did something. That was a holding, and so for me, when I could feel into the hour of everybody, not just me or people like me, or
thanks. A couple more?
I have a question. I was just when I came here, and I was listening to what you were reading, and we've been seeing this 99% everywhere, and it just dawned on me sitting here, it's really 100%, because then it's the 99 against the one, and us versus them, and then we just continue that struggle.
Yeah, and that's what she wrote in her email too. We're all the 99%, like that we are. It's the 100%.
Right.
We're all in this.
Yeah.
And I think that for me, that's where this work really comes together: is recognizing how interconnected, how we are all the 100% that's carrying this, that's holding this, experiencing this.
I enjoyed just hearing my partner, learning what she was concerned about and so forth. And I loved to be able to express myself as well. So that interaction I felt was dear.
Oh, good.
Well, thank you for participating in this practice. And can I dedicate the mirror before we do the announcements?
Absolutely.
Okay. So we'll just close and find a comfortable position. And just coming in touch with our hearts and wishing wellness to those of us in the room who so dearly want happiness for themselves and for all beings, and then for all of our loved ones and all of our loved ones' loved ones, and extending to all beings who want nothing more than to be happy, that all beings everywhere be safe, be free, be truly at peace. May this work benefit all beings.